Thank you. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Do you know what I love about Christmas? Surprises. Aren't surprises fun? Now, oh, you like the snow. Well, good luck with that, because there's no snow now. Well, today I bring to you a thank you from the Gideons. If you'll remember, we did our fifth Sunday, or not our fifth Sunday, our second Sunday noisy offering, and we raised, you guys collected $365.58, and the total amount of your gift will be used to purchase and place scriptures. It will provide approximately 73 Bibles or 292 Testaments. And the scriptures placed by your donation will touch the lives of over 153,000 people around the world. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yay. And so they wanted to, in recognition of your all's enthusiasm to help others know Jesus, 5 Gideon recognition Bibles are being provided by the Gideons and Auxiliary of Todd County. And Keith Sharp, the president of the Gideons, wrote that. And so he wanted to make sure you all heard that. And thank you all again for everything you did on the noisy offering. We have one other surprise, but it's not for you all. But I do need you all to protect me, because Miss Vicky doesn't like it when I call on her in public. Miss Vicky, as you all know, has been our children's director for the last several years, and today is her last Sunday in that capacity. Yay. And Miss Vicky, we are grateful for everything you have done and everything you will continue to undoubtedly do for and with the children of Petrie Memorial. And if that doesn't deserve a standing ovation, I don't know what does. Thank you. All right, enough of this gooey sentimentality. We're going to pray, and then you guys are going to go to Children's Church, all right? All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day, for your love and grace, for all that you do for us. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, by collecting change and providing Bibles for so many people. We thank you for those who work with our children and help to teach them your love and your grace in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you continue to guide and lead us in all things, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Do you want me to hold that while you go down? Say, yeah. Okay. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. We're finishing up our series on what Matthew says and what he has to teach us about the events of Advent and the events surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you'll remember with me, we've discussed how we are to wait. We're not to be too focused on the present or too focused on the future, but have a healthy recognition of both. We are to be a people who are prepared for the unpreparable because we never know how or when Jesus is going to show up in our lives and in our midst. We've discussed the evidence of Jesus, and he told us the evidence of himself to John the Baptist disciples. He told the crowd the evidence of who John was, and he expects us to continue to share that evidence with others. And then last week we considered God Emmanuel, God with us. And today, in light of all that we've seen and heard through Matthew's gospel, we're going to consider this idea of getting up. We've seen and we've heard, and now it's time to do something about it. It's not just for our own edification, but it's a call and a challenge for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Let us hear now from God's word, Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him." Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I have called my son out of Egypt." When Herod knew the Magi had fooled him, he grew angry. He sent soldiers to kill all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger, according to the time he had learned from the Magi. This fulfilled the word spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and much grieving, Rachel weeping for her children, and she did not want to be comforted because they were no more. After King Herod died, an angel from the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said, "and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Those who were trying to kill you are dead." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus ruled over Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he went to the area of Galilee. He settled in a city called Nazareth so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much again for this day that you've given to us, for this time and this season and this place where we can gather. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this your word, and we pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. The passage we read today is a difficult passage in many respects. And as I read and pondered on this passage and thought about it, one thing kept coming to my mind. And that was Batman. Any Batman fans out there? Love Batman. He's my favorite superhero, and he's my favorite superhero because there's really nothing super about him. He's just a guy with a lot of money, and he knows how to beat people up and use his financial resources and his other resources to help those in need. And in one of the movies, Batman Begins, Christian Bale is the protagonist. He is Batman in this movie. He's asked a question twice in the movie. We hearken back to his childhood where he falls into a well and his father comes down and gets him, and the father asks the question, why do we fall? And he answers, so that we can learn to pick ourselves back up. And near the end of the movie, Bruce Wayne feels, Bruce Wayne is Batman, if you didn't know that, I apologize. Bruce Wayne feels as if he's failed, feels as if he has not done what needed to be done, and he is kind of moping and sad, and Alfred, his servant who has been with him for many years, asks him this same question. Why do we fall, sir? So that we can learn to pick ourselves back up. It's a good lesson for us to learn and to be mindful of. Today I want to flesh it out a little bit more. This is a little too focused on me doing, right? And so we want to consider it maybe a little differently. And maybe we consider that in the midst of the fallen, we as Christians are called to get up. In the midst of the broken, we as Christians are called to get up. In the midst of the darkness, we as Christians, bearers of the light of Christ, are called to get up. This passage has three distinct dreams and three distinct fulfillments that take place. There is Jesus' escape to Egypt. The angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, they want to kill the baby, so you need to run, you need to go to Egypt, and so Joseph does that. Then we have the killing of the innocents in Bethlehem at the hands of Herod the king, those 2 years old and younger. And then we have the return of Joseph and Mary and Jesus from Egypt to Israel, specifically to the city of Nazareth. Matthew quickly brings us back to reality after the joyful and often emotionally uplifting celebration of Christ's miraculous birth. Because in those moments, in those joyful times, in those seasons of great, we know that they don't last forever, and that reality often comes back through. And we see that happening here. This passage reminds us that all of Jesus' earthly existence and life was surrounded by the evils of society, the evils of culture, the evils of politics, and the evils of religion. He came to live in this place at that time, amidst the evil that was there. And as Jesus' life mirrored the life of Israel and their people, so he mirrors our lives as well. Jesus knows what it's like to have those good days, to have those bad days, and to have everything in between. Jesus knows, because in the midst of our fallenness, he got up. and he calls us to get up. In the midst of the evils and the things going on in the world, Jesus' father Joseph gets up in obedience to God's call. Three times he's told to get up and to go. And three times Joseph gets up, gathers his wife and child, and goes. The evils that could have quickly overwhelmed him were held at bay by his willingness to obey God. All of the things that often tend to overwhelm us can be held at bay if we would be obedient, as Joseph is here, to God. The doubts and the fears of the unknown never stall Joseph. We see here that he was afraid to return because of Herod's son, but he does return, and the angel tells him to go to Nazareth. Return to the promised land, be among the people of God, but be in this place. Let's be smart about this, right? And so he goes. His willingness to obey his heavenly Father enables him to get up in the midst of the fallen, in the midst of the unknown, in the midst of the chaotic and the broken. I have to imagine that Joseph, like many of us, had some pretty great plans for his life. Anyone here have great plans for your life? Well, this is how this is going to look. This is what this is going to be like. This is that, right? We've got these great plans. No doubt, he wanted to marry Mary, and he wanted to grow old in his hometown and to be a carpenter and to raise their children and to have weddings and to do all of those things that anybody would want to do. Wanted to grow old where he had been born. But that gets a little interrupted. And so Joseph willingly, and almost immediately it seems, goes where sent. We never hear him complain. We never see him think, well, woe is me, right? He simply goes where God calls him to go. And so today, on this first Sunday of Christmas, this first Sunday after Christmas, this last Sunday of 2019, if you can even believe it, we have to ask ourselves, am I prepared to go? Am I prepared to have all of my plans uprooted and to be obedient and faithful to God? Am I prepared to get up? In the midst of the fallen, the chaotic, the unknown, the dark, it's easy to be weighed down by sin, to be weighed down by sorrow and the evils of this world. But we can get up through the grace of God's redemption in Jesus Christ. As he mustered the strength to get up, so we can muster that same strength. I don't know if you know this, but falling down is easy. Anyone ever fallen down? I wrote this and I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking around, making sure there's not anything here to trip me up. Falling down is easy. Gravity does most of the work. You don't really have to do anything. Sin is easy. It does most of the work. You really don't have to do anything. Getting up is the difficult task of the Christian. Getting up is the difficult task of the follower of Jesus. Because we're called to get up in the midst of all of those things that would seem to weigh us down. We're called to get up and to come alongside others to fight evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves as we call ourselves to when we join the church. But we're not alone when we do this. Think back with me to Abraham. He got up at the age of 70 and went where he was called to go, which would eventually become the promised land. The Old Testament Joseph, the 11th son of Israel, was called to get up. And he led Israel to safety in Egypt. Moses, some 400 years later, got up and led Israel out of Egypt to safety in the wilderness, and eventually through Joshua, who also got up to safety in the promised land. The New Testament Joseph, as we see today, got up and led his family to Egypt to keep them safe, led them back to Israel to keep them safe, and specifically to Nazareth in order to keep them safe, all to fulfill the prophets. Jesus got up and he set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing what would await him. And 3 days later, he got up again. And his apostles got up through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we bear witness to all of this. We stand in the line of those who have gone before, and we help pave the way for the ones who will come after. So will you get up this morning? Will you follow God's leading? Will you embrace the unknown so that Jesus may reign in your life and in the lives of others? I have no doubt that in the coming days, maybe you've already been working on it. You have some New Year's resolutions. And no doubt, by February, we'll stop getting up and doing those. And I pray with all that is in me to pray that we don't let following God be something that we put off, but that we continue to get up each and every day, that we may follow Him, that we may grow closer and more in likeness to Him. I pray that we may continue to get up, to take up our crosses, to deny ourselves, and to follow Jesus. We are a people, as we have seen, who are called to wait, to be fully present and fully aware of what is to come. We are a people who are called to be prepared for the unpreparable. We are a people who have seen the evidence of Christ. We've seen it in our lives. We've seen it in Scripture. We are a people who are called to remember Emmanuel. God is with us. And we do all of this so that we can get up, and so that we may not remain fallen. Why do we fall? So that we can learn to pick ourselves back up by the grace of God. Amen and amen. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We are grateful for all that you have done and continue to do in our midst. Lord, those things that we know and those things that are beyond our knowing. Fill us, surround us, encourage us, and help us to get up each and every day in the will and in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.